Hi, this is Favi Fav, and it's just me this week. Hello, everyone. How's everybody doing? I see you all social distancing still. Some of you still taking the self-isolation. I can't even say that. Taking the self-isolation very seriously. I appreciate you. Thank you so much. There was a moment this week where I was like, why am I still doing this? Because nobody else that I know is, except for my very close friends. They are a gem. It's been really great because we're all very serious about it. We've created sort of a pod of people that are very honest. And if you go and you hang out with other people, sorry, you can't sit with us. So, anyway, I'm just getting that off of my chest because, I had some family members that recently traveled to Mexico and I was so confused. Just like people pretending we are not in the midst of several pandemics, okay? Oh, but you know what? I'm trying to keep it positive. And I know that a lot of our listeners are still, in there fighting the good fight and hopefully staying home so that the hospitals aren't overloaded and, we can be safe until there's some sort of plan in action. Maybe a vaccine. Who knows at this point? I don't know. I just hope, I pray, actually, that maybe the aliens come before and, this just ends sooner. No, I'm not going to say that. Okay, we got to take care of our planet, people. That's really where I'm going with this, And that's what this show is about today because... What an emotional roller coaster from the aliens. Please take me now to know we need to take care of our planet. And I've talked about it on the show before. I was born and raised in Las Vegas and... we weren't really raised to take care of the environment here. Everything was disposable. You can even walk out of a casino with a full, martini in a glass, and it's okay for you to take it out and just, throw it on the sidewalk. That's our culture here. It's wild. I think we just need to be a little bit more conscious of how wasteful we are. And so when I was approached by Valentina and Crystal of Planeta G podcast, Planeta G, I was so happy to talk to them. It is a podcast, a new YouTube podcast by Greenpeace USA, and we get into it. And so, so y'all wouldn't be at home without an episode today. I am re-airing the audio from the YouTube video on today's show. I cut out a little bit because... you have to actually see the video to understand what's happening. But if you want to just watch the YouTube show, stop what you're doing right now, go on the show notes and click on the link and you can view us talking directly into your faces without a mask on. Wow. But don't worry, we're more than 6 feet away. It's fine. Okay, so anyway, in this conversation, Valentina, Crystal, and I get into it. We talk about art and intersectionality and what artists can do to make this world a better place when it comes to playing the role of activist and as environmentalist. Many artists are politically involved and care about climate change and the environment. And I used to be a very destructive person. I'm not going to lie. And I think now that I'm seeing the world on fire, I'm trying my best to really do my part and not be part of the problem. And I think, if we all thought that way, this world would be a better place. Everybody, hold my hands. I almost sang a song by somebody that was canceled. So anyway, before I do that, I'm just gonna start this interview. Okay, it's hot. I'm a mess. Y'all, we're in a heat wave. Please stay inside, people. California, I'm looking at you. Okay. All right, without further ado, here is my episode with Planeta G. Hey.
One of the super interesting things that we're going to talk about today is art and also intersectionality and what role intersectionality plays in art. And it got me thinking, like, what is the role of all of our identities and who we are, not just in how we show up on our everyday life, but in the work that we do? It's not a monolith. Just like art is not a monolith that is, you know, just like folks from European heritage and big, empty, you know, sort of museum halls. That's also not what art is. Art is everyday art. It's all of our pieces that make up the entire environmental movement are of value. They're important. And that's how we want to bring people along as well. If people feel like maybe nervous about joining, they don't necessarily identify themselves as activists. They don't necessarily think of themselves as environmentalists. There's a place for you too. There's a place for all of us in protecting our Madre Tierra and our planet.
Art plays such an important role in activism, whether you're creating a poster to take to a local protest or doing something bigger than that, like a massive banner drop, for example, at Greenpeace. I think everything that we do is political, but art especially has such a wonderful way of conveying messages that is accessible to everybody, is beautiful, is captivating, but it also creates conversation, sparks sort of that debate amongst people. And I think that that's what's most important, is that that art is creating a space for debate.
Do you do art, Crystal?
I do. I think all of us are artists. You know, if you're just like picking up a pen and doodling, that is art. If you are, you know, creating these big murals, that is also art. I think anybody who is willing to put themselves and express themselves like on a page or any other medium that they decide to use is an artist. But yeah, I've always been a huge supporter of the arts. And, you know, in my free time, I started a arts program that talked about sort of like well-being and self-care and self-esteem amongst youth and using art as the vehicle to do that. And it was called Expresarte. And it was one of my favorite things. Actually, one of the paintings I have back there was created by one of my students. Anybody can be an artist. It doesn't really matter where you come from or what you do, as long as you're expressing yourself and you're expressing how you feel in that very moment, that is art.
I think I'm not very visual. I was always more of a poet. You know, poetry slams, etc., baby.
It is art, baby. And also this like look that you've got going on today is art. Are you kidding?
With us today, we have the amazing Justin Favela, aka Favi Fav. He's Guatemalan-American artist from Nevada, known for his large-scale sculptures that plays with American pop culture and the Latinx experience. He's the host of a couple of podcasts, including the Art People podcast and one of my favorite podcasts, Latinos Who Lunch. Welcome, Favi.
Hey, welcome, Favi.
I'm still trying to figure out technology.
Oh, shit. Technical difficulties.
Me and my abuela, we're right there. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thank you for having me. I am in Las Vegas, Nevada right now.
Sin City, baby. Beautiful.
Yes, Sin City, where people don't believe that wearing masks is a thing. So.
Oh, Crystal and I, very similarly, you know, we started working at Greenpeace right around the same time. And we really didn't see a lot of Latinx representation in the environmental movement in these big green organizations. And so we thought, hey, like maybe we can just do something like that. And on your show, you talk about sort of the intersectionality between being queer, Latinx, and sort of like this like idea of like Spanglish inside this Anglo world. What do you think is the importance of intersectionality? Why is it so important to talk about?
Oh my gosh, that's one of the big missions of Latinos Who Lunch, is that if it's not intersectional, it's really not for anyone, really. Like if the revolution isn't intersectional, then we will never be free, basically, you know? So from the very beginning, we've been checking ourselves on our privilege as cisgender males on the show. And because we recognize the misogyny within our own, you know, belief systems, just based on how we were raised and America, and I'm saying America like North, South, and Central America.
Yeah.
And so, and then something that happened maybe like a year or two into Latinos Who Lunch was the recognition of the erasure of Central American culture, but and also Afro-Latinidad. So we actively, before people were using the term, you know, anti-racist or really intersectionality, because I think I heard that a lot after the white women's march that happened a few years ago. They still got their pussy hats on. I haven't seen many at the Black Lives Matter protests, but still waiting.
Oh!
So we really started paying attention to like, oh my gosh, we're really like Mexico centric on our show. We need to actively be anti-Black and talk about colorism and talk about the erasure of Afro-Latinidad on our show. And we recognized that it was our own, you know, that was our one of our personal goals was to really openly talk about that and have sometimes uncomfortable conversations.
Like, I love what you said. We can't have a revolution if it's not intersectional, because the sort of traumas and the histories and the experiences are compounded with each identity that include you, both, you know, in a way that's like, you know, boosts you in society and helps you in society and also not. It's so interesting to think about, especially with climate change, because at the end of the day, we're all going to be affected by climate change, but to what degree, you know, and how soon, it really depends on where you are, how much you have, how much you're given, how much you're supported in society.
It's funny because like recycling and taking care of the environment, it's seen as this like very feminine or, you know, white people thing. But it's like, no, I mean, Latinos have been trying to take care of the environment for a very long time. We just don't talk about it in the same way. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I also like to pretend that I'm vegan on the show. Just to make people mad, because, you know, that's also something that's relegated to just white people, you know? I don't want to eat cows anymore because it's bad for the environment. And that's like a real thing that I'm doing.
Now that we're talking about climate and how much Latinx people care about it, maybe not in the same context that, you know, white people are like, you know, recycling or I'm vegan or I'm this, like we have our abuelas, you know, like, teaching us like, here's this like remedio or like rub this like herb on your like sore foot and you'll wake up so much
Vicks
better.
Vicks VapoRub, the best herb.
Or some other iteration of that. I mean, Latinx people care about the environment, and we quote this like, or reference this study that happened recently at Yale that 70% of people in the United States who are Latinx care about the environment. And so how do you see that or not see that reflected in our culture? And how do you see Latinx values reflected in the conversation around the environment?
I mean, there's very different schools of thinking within my own family, for example. But like my abuelita, you know, I see a lot of people do it, saying this online too, is like, we've been saving plastic bags and containers from jump, right? Like, that's just something that we do in our, like, is that sour cream in the fridge? It's probably salsa or some like leftover beans or something. You never know. So in little ways like that, we're very resourceful as Latinos, because a lot of times we have to be, but also that's just part of our culture, even in Latin America. But an example that pops up in my head is I recently visited Guatemala for the first time as an adult, and went back to where my mom is from, this little village called El Cubilete in Gualan, which is right in the center of Zacapa in Guatemala. And so half of my family are farmers, and then half of them are raised cattle. So it's like, that's when I realized like, yo, my family is responsible for like the deforestation of Guatemala, because I'm seeing all this open land my grandpa has. But they don't see it that way. They're like, no, cows are money. We're going to raise these cows. We're going to make, you know, we're going to, some of them are dairy cows. Some of them will be sold for meat. And so there's just acres and acres of land that my family owns that is just grass now, when it used to be rich rainforest. But what I saw going to Guatemala was the next generation of us And one of my younger tios, for example, he ended up inheriting some land from my great uncle, his dad, and it's this beautiful kind of hill next to a river that was all chopped down. And in that part of Guatemala, the iguanas are gone because people have they ate them all, basically. They hunted them all away. So his goal now is to bring back the rainforest, which is already growing back with a vengeance, and make a sanctuary for all of these iguanas in the town so that they actually come back. And his goal is to repopulate the town with iguanas again. And so there's people on both sides of my family, you know, tearing down the rainforest and then rebuilding it in the very same village, basically. Unfortunately, a lot of Latinos in the United States are affected by capitalism and patriarchy and individualism and all this bullshit. And so a lot of us are raised to be very destructive in that sense.
Yeah. We've got to change the systems for us to really thrive. Let's pivot and talk a little bit about your art. I'm super excited to hear more about that. Like, what got you started? What inspires your art? And then also, what role does art play in activism?
I wasn't a visual artist until recently. I've been a full-time artist for 3 years now, this month. And so, yeah, with no day job, just been freelancing and doing contract work and stuff like that. So my journey as an artist didn't really start until college. I took a drawing class, I think my sophomore year, junior year. And once I did that, I just shifted my whole major. I was a music guy before that. I played the tuba. I was like really cool in high school. So,
so distinguished, the tuba.
No, right? Oh, people hated me on the bus. Okay, so when I started making art, I was making things in response to art history, and just kind of poking fun at different things. And I kind of stayed away from making art about identity for a long time because I saw that a lot of Latinos, or a lot of people of color, I should say, in the art world, when they start making art about themselves, then that's all their art is about, right? Is identity and trauma, you know? Because, oh my God, the white art world loves our trauma. They put it on display in the biggest museums, right? And so I kind of stayed away from making very personal work like that for a long time. And then one day I said, you know what? I'm gonna make a piece that is like over the top about my identity as a Latino and kind of ridiculous. So I made this huge piñata that was the size of a donkey. So I like enlarged the donkey. Like I made it look like a real life donkey out of fabric and chicken wire and paper mache. And then I covered it in the traditional colors of a piñata as one of the first kind of like symbols of Latinidad. And it just looked like a sad dead horse hanging in a gallery. It was very dramatic. and of course, everybody loved it. And I got a lot of attention for it. My goal from the very beginning was to make it accessible so that even, you know, my abuelita understands, my 8-year-old cousin understands, my nieces understand what I'm doing. And also, once I got into kind of the art world, then my mission became to also have a bit of an institutional critique within my work. Like, so it went from making piñatas as objects to using the piñata as a medium, tissue paper and cardboard and covering I'm covering white walls in institutions with color, right? Trying to break down these boundaries or these stereotypes through my artwork. So at first glance, my work might look like, you know, it is a celebration of Latinx culture, of my story, my identity, but it's also an institutional critique on what we see in museums and who's allowed in those spaces, who are those spaces for, right? And so when I get the opportunity to show at a major museum or gallery, I say, how much can I cover? How much of the walls can I cover up? How much space can I take up in here? Because I'm going to take up as much space as humanly possible, right?
And take up as much space as possible, because we are doing the work. Like you're saying, there are artists, you're creating art. And then same with environmentalism. We need to bust down the doors and just take up the space.
I love that analogy too of like, I'm going to get my palo, like escoba, and I'm just going to go at it. That's what I was thinking the entire time. So many
Break down those walls. Yes.
As you are familiar maybe with, there's two kinds of hot sauces. One is called Valentina hot sauce and one is called Cristal hot sauce. Which one is your favorite?
Oh my God.
I didn't know the answer.
Depends for what. Ooh. So I have different sauces for different things. Valentina, I only use Valentina for two things. Plain, just like potato chips, like plain Lay's potato chips and Valentina. Maybe a little limon. Perfect. I also use Valentina for carne asada tacos. That's it.
Okay.
It's the perfect combination. Crystal hot sauce, that's the one that's a little bit more like vinegary, right? I usually use that for the morning for eggs and potatoes. That's it.
How many hot sauces are in your house right now?
Oh my gosh. There's a whole cabinet of them.
Oh my gosh, Bobby. It's been so great to have you. Thank you so much for coming on. You're such a joy. I can't wait to see your hot sauces later, or have you come over and we can have a little kiki.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Bye-bye.
Don't forget to check out Fabi Fab and Babalito on their podcast, Latinos Who Lunch. And also make sure to check out Fabi's other podcast, The Art People Podcast. And you can follow Fabi at Fabi Fab on social media. Be sure to hit that subscribe button and text Planeta G to 877-877 to stay updated, and follow us on Instagram at Greenpeace USA.
Prontito.
Ciao.
Say stop.
Okay. Stop. Because you got another cups cup. There you go.
Three of cups. What does that mean?
Three of cups is celebration, friendship, creativity, and collaboration.
That's exactly what we're doing out here, baby.
This is our card. I don't know who this third lady is, but she's around here somewhere.
It's whoever's watching.
I love it.
All right, we're back. I hope you liked the episode. Thank you so much to Valentina and Cristal for having me. I love your apartments. Beautiful. And I can't wait to meet y'all IRL when it is safe to do so. Oh my God, I'm itching to go to New York. I miss my friends so much. I'm telling you right now, as soon as it's safe to go to New York, I'm going to New York. Crystal, I'm going to meet you in person. But I also miss my podcast friends, my art friends. Shout out to the Grizzly Kiki boys. I miss them so much. And I just want to hang out with them and go to Panda Express. Is that too much to ask? Anyway, I miss traveling. You know, I didn't think it would get to this point, y'all, but I've been still for so long. I'm itching to go. So I get it. I get y'all that are going to the beach and all this shit and posting on Instagram. But listen, I've said it before. If you're going to post that you're traveling or you're with a group of friends online, make sure you are conveying the right message, that you care about everybody in the world. And I understand that a lot of this is for show. Putting on a mask, taking pictures with a mask on with your friends. Okay, for example, my friends, we're all in a pod. We all live in the same neighborhood, basically. And we can all hang out because we all know we're being safe. But if we post a picture of all of us together on the internet, people don't know that. So we just want to make sure that people know that we're taking everything seriously. Does that make sense? I feel like it's a little bit hypocritical, but at the same time, I think that, you know, the theater of it is important. Just like when we go to the airport, right? Like TSA, is it really going to save our lives? Maybe. But it's all just a show, right? It's just a show like, look, this we care about your safety, right? Anyway, shout out to all the TSA people that listen to us. We know. It's fine. We all get it. I'm glad y'all have work. Okay. Whew. Just be careful, folks. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying this because I care. Okay. But anyway, Planeta Hey, thank you so much. It also made me miss my Guatemalan family because I talked about Guatemala in the interview, and I was supposed to go back twice already this year, and I wasn't able to. So I really want to go back to Guatemala. Let's see. Maybe the outro can be places that I want to go to. Oh, this is where I was getting at because, listen, I get it because I see all these people taking road trips, and at first I was like, bitch, just stay home. But that is the safest way to travel, right? If you get in your car, take a drive, go take pictures somewhere, and then go back home, great, do that. Or go get a cabin in the woods somewhere, go camping. I'm not going to go camping for free, like, unless it's a job. But, you know, I know a lot of people like to sleep outside for fun. So if you want to do that, that's great. But... Dios mío, like my mom said, I didn't cross the border for you to sleep outside on purpose. So I'm not going to. But glamping, bitch, hook it up. Give me one of those cute little trailers and give me one of those little cute little cabins. Oh my God, there's like cabins with hot tubs in them. Girl. Whew. Oh, anyway, I gotta go. I gotta go plan my road trip. If you are, you know, in the surrounding Las Vegas area and you have any suggestions, let me know. Maybe I'll go down to Mesquite, have a good time. You know, go down to Baker. Shout out to all our Baker listeners. The world's largest thermometer is there. Home of alien jerky. Don't support them. They're Trump supporters. What else? What's near here? Oh, I could go to Utah. Go down to the Chick-fil-A in St. George. What else can I do? Oh, Arizona's down the way. You know, it's very safe for us in Arizona. You know what? I'm going to stay home. I think I'm fine. Maybe I'll just I'll put on Padma's new show and just be taken to another place. Maybe rewatch some No Reservations or whatever the fuck that show's called. Okay, anyway, thank you all for tuning in today. We miss you. Thank you again to Planeta G. Shout out to all our Patreon subscribers. Shout out to everybody that's bought our coloring book. Yo, that is so cool. Everybody keeps buying it. We only printed a limited supply, so when they run out, they run out. It's like a special edition little artwork. If you want to buy it, you can go to latinoswholunch.com/coloringbook. If you live in Las Vegas, you can order it directly from the writer's block, or you can go and pick it up. Order it today. All right. If you have any questions, you can email us at asklwlpod@gmail.com, and we might read your letters on a future episode. Please rate us 5 stars. Thank you so much to everybody that's reviewed the show. Keep reviewing the show. Keep telling people. That's how people find us. So 5 stars only, because the more reviews that we have, the more visible we are, and visibility leads to representation, and representation matters, people. Today's episode was produced by me, Justin Favela, and of course, Valentina and Cristal over at Planeta G. Shout out to Greenpeace USA.org. I think it's greenpeace.org/USA. I don't know. I'll put the link in the show notes, everybody. The music that you're listening to right now is by the band Balloon. I'm Favi Fav. Oh my God. Angelica, just from Balloon, composed this piece. I don't know if I'm allowed to talk about it, so I'm not going to yet. I'm going to wait. But anyway, there's going to be something coming soon. Bye.